It is so much vaster, so much wider in its perfection and in its reality. I don't know how to put it. But you see, here when I compose, here when I create, I am able to reach out and to express so much more. And many people are helped by it. For my music is still very much alive. It is something more dynamic, more tremendous, with greater possibility too of expression. And many people play my music, many great musicians, and many people who are learning, who are beginning to know and understand me, expressing my music. Sometimes they bring something of themselves to me, which is good. I don't want people to think, I wouldn't like anyone to think, that because someone here may create, or someone on your side may create, that there cannot be people who can give something of themselves to it when they reconstruct it. It is the beauty of it. It is the great thing is that when you create something, it is of yourself, of course, but it is something that you have taken from others, indirectly or directly. You are expressing life, you are expressing all sorts of other people and emotions, and all sorts of things are in music, for instance. And it is interesting even for me to listen to someone else play my music and see what they put into it of themselves. Sometimes it is a blending, it is like life here. It is that we are individuals, of course. We are artists in our own creative sense in our own world, but at the same time we are all part of the other. It is most extraordinary for me to be able to create something and then to hear someone else reconstruct it or play it in the whole way.
It's all created, isn't it? Every individual.
That is what I mean. They bring their own interpretation to it. That is what makes music exciting and interesting. Of course, it is natural, and that the artist, the person who creates something, will play it in the way in which it was intended. But it doesn't alter the fact that an individual can also bring an interpretation of their own, which is interesting.
Yes.
It is wonderful because great music is like, well, great authors. I mean, for instance, Shakespeare. He creates great characters, a great play, and a great artist can bring his own interpretation to it. And every artist has his own idea. It is interesting. That is why these works live. That is why they go on and on and on. Because everybody brings something to it, and sometimes finds something new and fresh. And you know that is good. That is why an artist here is happy when his works are played by other artists, and he listens to the other person's interpretation. It may not be the original idea. It may not always fit in with what you think of yourself, what you intend it may be always. And yet, it is so that each artist can create and bring something, if they are really artists, something that is very interesting and beautiful. You know, here I link up with many great thoughts, and I compose great works, great compositions, in which many people are involved, and everyone has a part, and everyone has something to give of themselves. All the highlighted score, you say.
Yeah.
Other people bring them themselves into it. But just usually I choose the people that I am thinking of in my music. And when I give it for them to reconstruct or to replay, you know.
Yeah.
And it is interesting because I put for them what it is they have to play. But they bring themselves into it and it comes to life. Oh, I wish I could explain this to you. But great symphonies are conducted and created. I listen to works by Mozart and by all the great artists, Beethoven and oh so many, you know, and if you could hear, and sometimes we have worked together and all of us have played together. Sometimes we have created music together and each one is creating something of himself from himself, and it is a tremendous quality, it is a tremendous work in itself, and others will create and recreate and so on. It is tremendous. Oh, of course I have, but he has been here a long time ago. Surely to speak with you.
Do
you not believe me come to you?
No.
Oh, I have a feeling a long time ago I bring him. Oh,
no,
come.
No.
Oh, I must try to one day then to come. And Amati, you have heard Amati.
Who?
Amati. And he's a man who created the violin, great artist.
No,
Amati
is
here. Yes, I know. That is what I say to you.
Yes.
Oh, goodness me. I met Paganini. He is a great soul.
Yes.
People say he played like the very devil, but they should have said he played like a great angel.
Yes.
He was wonderful. No one could
play. Just because
they were afraid that they could not understand. It was something uncanny that what he could do with a violin. Oh, tremendous.
Yes,
he played the fiddle. Like no one has ever played the fiddle.
Do you think it would be possible?
Ah, you're going to ask me someone like that and come and play the fiddle here for you, huh? That would be marvelous. Huh? Well, I don't know if that could be so.
No.
people still have this idea that because they have a physical body or something which is not a very good wish, or perhaps they are not beautiful, or perhaps they are too short or too fat, or perhaps they lost a leg and they got used to having one leg, here the body is perfect. You see, people don't seem to realize that the physical side of things are not the reality. It is here, the mental and the spiritual aspect of an individual that is the important. And so you become, gradually through the spiritual realization of self, you become beautiful. But only when you have a beautiful soul, when you yourself help to create it, it doesn't just happen like that. Many people, when they come here, they still have an outward body exactly like they had on earth. But you see, it depends on the individual. If your thoughts are good and if your intentions are good, and you try in your life to think and do the right things, kind and everything, then you have to change the physical into something that is truly spiritual. And so you shine from, as it were, from inside to the outside, and you become beautiful. People don't seem to realize. But then if you could hear as I hear, and know as I know, and understand as I understand, you would realize that the great souls that are here, that create, whether it is in music or in other fashion or other way, they are expressing something which is so tremendous that it isn't necessary to have the artificiality. Because in a way, although I speak to you in this sense, and I talk about instruments, and I talk about violins, I talk about piano, these things are important. But what is important is the being able to create from within one's inner soul so that people may hear from within yourself. In other words, you are creating in such a way that the instruments that you are accustomed to create are not in themselves that important. That is why I say to you, when you are here, the real you, the beauty of the soul, will be able to express itself, that the instrument of the physical body is no longer important. The same applies to the piano, the same applies to the violin, or the cello, or whatever it may be. Here one can express oneself in such a tremendous fashion, so marvelous it is, that people can be, as it were, in tune with you, and they can reach out and they can hear from within the inner soul of the individual who is creating. There is no need for it to have to be, shall you say, transposed to an instrument, which can only give, you take the piano, it's a wonderful instrument. But many times I used to get so furious because the piano could not seem to respond to what I was getting within my inner soul. I was wanting to express something that the piano could not express. Don't you think Mozart was like that on earth? Don't you think that many other great souls, composers, etc. were similar? We must not limit the soul's power to instruments. There are instruments on this side, of course, far removed from your idea. I have told you there are instruments here with a vast, how do you say, keyboard, a vast ability to express sounds far beyond your realization. There are no limitations. Here it is possible to have on certain plans where one plays, one perhaps goes to give a recital or a concert, it is possible to have an instrument where there are several, what you say, a different, different layers, huh? Of keys.
Oh, I see what you mean. One above the other.
So? But sometimes it is not necessary to put the fingers upon them.
No.
One can do it by the power of one's thoughts, by the power of one's inner self. This I can never explain to you. All I can say is that you must accept it. And if you can't accept it or understand it at least, try to realize that I tell you this necessarily. As I've said to you, you have learned a great deal. And in learning, you have opened up for yourself great possibilities far removed from anything you can conceive on your side. I wish you could know this better. I wish you could remember a little more, something, of what transpired in your so-called sleep.
I can't stop.
Well, it is something that you cannot force on yourself. It is something that you may remember just a little, sometimes, in a natural way, but it is not something that you can force. Yes. But I can tell you that you have much cause for happiness here. Your mama, your brother, all the different peoples that have love for you, you are with them often in such a harmonious and a happy state. But then again, if you remember too much, if you were ever, you could not live in your world any longer. That is why sometimes it is not good to remember too much. Sometimes it is best not to know. It is good to know some things, but sometimes it is not good to know too much. Otherwise, perhaps people in your world, if they knew so much as we know, or even as much as they would wish to know, it would not be good for them. They could not live their lives in your world if their minds were too conscious of the glory, the magnificence, the beauty, the joy, everything of this life. We can tell you so much, we can help you so far, but there is a limit which I think it is necessary. I think for people's happiness on your side, it could not be good to know too much.
That's why I don't know anything.
Oh, you don't say that to me. And then my promises, I shall leave. I will try to keep. I'm not going to make any more because I've got a lot unfulfilled. All right. That is the little lock of the hair. You give up the hope, but there is possible things that can happen even yet. But it is not so much in these things that matter.
Yes.
It would be nice, very nice, for us, for you particularly. But that is not so important. What is important is that I can speak, I will talk to you.
Yes.
And also, not only me, but your mama, though she does not speak so well, but your brother and others, those that you know and love. The links between us are strengthened by time, not weakened. And as time progresses, so naturally you become closer to us and we to you. And eventually, well, it will be the union of the mind and of the spirit. Without all the complications of mediums, though we bless them, thank God. But, you know, it is wonderful. Everyone could realize that every day, every month, every year of their lives, they are not drawing away from the things that are good, but they are drawing towards them. You know, people say, oh, I'm getting old, I can't enjoy this no more, I can't do this, I can't do that. In a sense, that is tragic. And yet, in a sense, they should be realizing they are drawing closer to the things that are real, the things that matter, the things that are permanent and real, you know. Oh, people say, oh, I don't think I can manage this, I don't think I can do that. I'm getting old and ugly, you know. But all the time, if they did but know it, they could be getting young and beautiful. Young in mind and young in spirit and beautiful. I don't know, but people have everything topsy-turvy, you know? The long way ups and downs, you know?
Yeah.
They don't see. Look at musicians, huh? They play great music, they create great music. As they get older, they get too difficult, awkward, perhaps deaf, like certain people we could mention, you know? And yet, you know, the point is that if you have within yourself the realization of truth and beauty and loveliness, as you get older, you draw closer to these things, and you are more in tune with them, and you can create, even though the body is old and weak. It is marvelous what a man who is truly in tune with the infinite, what he can do, you know? When I think back on certain things, and when I think of some of the people that I have met, musicians especially, and the great artists, look at some of the great artists, who in their old age were still creating, though their hands, what you say, the muscles, no, the joints, but still, they still have the brush, and they still paint. Sometimes more beautiful than they did in our youth. But it is the spirit that counts, the desire, the will, to do something that is good and creative. I don't think people should dread the old age. They should look upon it as the growing nearer and with a greater fullness and realization of things that are valuable, that are important, the things that are really true, the things that are permanent and eternal. I hope so. But some old people, I don't know, they're full of grouses, they're full of, how you say, dislikes. They get worse, some of them. I want you to get better and better. I think you do.
Yes.
I think in many ways you are a much nicer person than you was when you were 30. Well, in fact, I don't think I know you were, although you were never a bad person. But somehow in your, how you say, age, you have matured and you become gentler and have more understanding. And though you don't think you're a good musician, you've become a much better one. Not on your own piano in the other room, no. But over here on our piano, the celestial, spiritual piano of reality, the permanent, you play harmonic, beautiful, you know, Christmas. That people don't see Christmas in the right way. They think of it purely, as you say, in a material sense. They think of presents, they think of reality, they think of drinks, they think of small kids, you know. Well, not really of the spirit, the real spirit of Christmas. The real spirit of Christmas is something very beautiful. It's not only just in this Christmas story, I don't mean only in that, but something deeper even, that many people don't see. They don't see the truth, they don't see the spirit of the reality, you know. They is the birth of truth, it's the birth of knowledge, it's the birth of life. It is the eternal spiritual realities that are important. Only people could see these things. Oh, but many people are blind. They think that they can only find the things that matter in grand houses or great dresses and beautiful clothes and what you call the motor of the car and all those things. It is not in those things. It is in the simple things, the simplicity, the purity, the naturalness, in humbleness. It's only when you are very low that you can really become truly great, you know. When a musician can only be truly great, for instance, when he is most humble, when he realizes he's only the, vehicle, as it were, of the expression of the music. He's only an instrument, like the piano is an instrument, a dead thing, until some musician play upon it and bring it to life. So the musician is like similar. Until he is inspired, until the creative urge is there, he cannot make great music, composition. Oh, if only people could realize it is this eternal spirit of life, this wonderful something that words can't depict or describe. These are the things that matter. Christmas should be like that. Note, I don't say it is wrong to be happy. I don't mean that. I don't say it is wrong, perhaps, to do some things that people do. But all the time they want this, they want that, they want, you know, it becomes obsession. And all these things are very much, how you say, suffice. There are no soul, no depth, no reality.
No.
People all the time running after the things that are not vital, not real, not important. All the time they think only money can buy these things that matter. But money don't buy the real things that matter. The real things are not bought. They are things that you earn, things that you create from within yourself, made possible by your own nature, by your own character, by your own being. A great musician can still compose, providing he has the instrument to experiment on, given the opportunity. Even then, I have music that has been composed without instruments, because it is something so dynamic within themselves that they express it in such a way that it becomes a vital living thing. People always think they must have so much, where often it isn't the so much a matter. It is the little, but it is the great little. It is the tremendous vital reality of life that surges and forces its way through adversity and through all the complication and difficulty and tragedy of life. Indeed, it is through the tragedy that we see the glimmer of hope. It is only that makes life tangible and real. People shirk and they don't want this and they don't want that. They want to avoid all the nasty things or bad things or things that are not comfortable for them. They won't face reality. They won't see that only through those things can great music come or great artists. All the great artists, all the great musicians, all the great people of life have suffered. It is only through great suffering, the great beauty and great spiritual awareness, how you say, great spiritual genius comes, you know. Oh, I don't know, people have everything topsy-turvy. For me, I can pick you out of all the fishes.
Can you really?
You are my little special one.
Oh. Oh, I'm
going to teach you again. No, seriously, I make the joke in a way, huh?
Yes.
But it is very difficult to put into words what one thinks and feels. And sometimes we try very hard and don't succeed. But I know that there is one thing, as I've often said to you before, that is beyond all price, beyond everything else, and that is a reality of love that can only find its expression in service. It is something that is not material, although it has a material aspect, of course. Of course, you can demonstrate it in a material way, as you say, but it is dynamic, it is spiritual, it is something that is so real, so permanent, it is something that is so creative. That's why I always say to you say, oh, I'm no good at bloody piano. You say, you batten down the lid, you're furious when you say, if you talk about the room and you get so coarse sometimes, not perhaps so much now as you did, but at the same time, only I can make you see. It is because of the intensity within you and that desire to sort of burst the bonds, you know, to be free, to be able to express. You know, that is something that will prove to you, when the time will come, how real it is, when you are no limitations, when there is great promise and great hope and great possibility for you, when you are able to do as you want to do, the things that you know you can do from within your inner soul, but which you have not been able to achieve, partly because of circumstances, and partly because of all complications of life. But these things are purely physical. The reality of the speech, the reality of the things of which we speak, these are the things that are for you here. These are the things that will matter. And all the love that will surround you, and the love that will make these things possible. It is this faith. Oh, sorry, I can explain what I mean. But faith, this tremendous faith, not only in me, I am just one fish in a big pond, but all the other little fishes, and the big fishes too, all the people, if you like, But we're all in a way in the big pond, how you say, the big sea life.
Yes.
Here, there is so much space, there is so much opportunity, there is so much to learn, so much to discover, and nothing is impossible. And, you know, here we are safe. One, as it were, sitting on the bank with a rod to get hold of us and pull us up out of it, you know. Here we stay in our little world, and we are happy, and we learn, and we swim, how you say. Here and there, all the time, there's this wonderful freedom, and we can go on expressing and expressing and creating and creating and becoming and becoming, and oh, it is infinite, it is supreme. I wish I knew how I could find words to tell you. But all I can tell you is that this love which we feel, all of us feel for you, and for many other souls too in your world, is so tremendous that nothing is impossible. Don't doubt, don't fear, and don't be depressed and unhappy if you could help it. I know there will be momentary unhappiness because of things that people say, the things that people do. These things hurt, these things fret, you know, and make one feel, I wish I could be out of it. But it is important to say to yourself, while I am in it, I do my little bit here, my little bit there. And I try to calm this person and make this little person a little more understanding and give them a little more wisdom. In other words, you have to do your part, but don't think that it is pointless and useless. For every second of every day, every moment has its meaning, its purpose. In some fashion, in some way, you can do something for someone. It does not mean you have to do it in a material way or a financial way. It is by the kindness and the feeling and the even the tears that you shed. These, in some measure, though they seem useless, sometimes even they can do something in which you know nothing. It is because you feel intensely that these loving thoughts and these things that you have within your heart, they are, in some measure, to some extent, sometimes, if not always, reciprocating, and other people are helped by them. You don't know. You don't see as we see. We know that we can take the love and the power from you that you send out, and we can use that in a very real thing to us. You don't know how real it is, the power that comes sometimes from people like yourself, who feel with love in their heart, perhaps for some unfortunate animal or for some unfortunate person. You may not always be able to do what you would like to do, but it is doing what you can do. Not always in a material way, but the feeling, the emotion. When you sense things, that's why artists are born, why they are created, why they come into being. It's because they have this tremendous urge, they want to express the whole of life. Not that they can never do it, but they want to express so much, either in music or in painting or in some shape or some form or in their own humble, humdrum lives, ordinary, unreal existences for some people, which are so gloomy and so unhappy perhaps, but they are expressing and they are doing, unconsciously sometimes perhaps, but when there is a reality of consciousness behind it and you know that you're doing it because it is good to do, because you want to do, because you want to serve, and then you forget self, when you are humble, only then, when a person is really humble are they creative, only then can they really become something which is part of the divine. So, in music, I've known, I realize that Mozart and all the other great composers know that it was in the humbleness of their creation, there's a desire to express something that they could not explain in words, in language, but they could express it to some extent in music. In spite of the small compass of that instrument, they could bring into sound, into melody, into beautiful, creative vibration, something of God's purpose, something of God's will, something of themselves, of something of the world and of the suffering of the world. I don't know how words don't explain these things, but I know these, that there is for every human being an avenue, an opportunity, a possibility of doing something that is valuable, that is good, that is some little something that will shine in the darkness of the world and give a little light here and there. There are some who are privileged, who are given a gift perhaps, so they can give a great light. And it will continue to illumine the path of generations of people. It may be in some shape or form, whether it is the music or whether it is art or whatever it may be in their very lives themselves, that they have no particular gifts, but in the example they have set for the world, others have endeavored to follow them. They've seen in them a path and a light and an illumination, and they try to be like them. You see, we see beauty, we see God, if you like, in so many different ways. We must not be prejudiced, we must not be now in our outlook, we must not condemn, we must always try to see the light which is there in many human lives. They may differ in a sense from what we think or what we know, but there is somewhere something that is good and valuable. We must take from others that we may ourselves become enlarged, as it were, bigger in our expression of faith, in our expression of life. We must not doubt, we must not fear, We must have faith, and above all, we must have tolerance and love in our hearts. We must not be content, never be content. Always we must be striving to do more, to become a little more wise, spiritually, I mean, a little more, as you say, conscious of the power that is within us, the possibilities that is within us. Not just be content from day to day, as so many people are, that they are sufficient unto themselves. No one is sufficient unto themselves. Even the greatest artists are never satisfied. The greatest musicians are never satisfied. How many manuscripts have I torn up and thrown onto the fire, which to some extent now I would regret I did. Because
then
some...
I know,
but it is too late now. But the point is this, you see, that we are never satisfied. We feel we ought to do so much better. We feel that we have failed perhaps in something. But if we have failed, perhaps it is partly in ourselves. Sometimes it is due to our circumstances. But more often than not, it is to ourselves. We fail ourselves. But we fail something even more than ourselves. We fail the inspiration, and we fail the genius that is within us, the power which is divine. We must never cease to struggle. We must never cease to endeavor. We must always at all times make possible the path that we have to tread by the attitude towards life, an attitude in which we must remember and realize that we have been given opportunity of life when on earth, even though it is humble, even though sometimes it is drab and it is dreary and sometimes it is impossible, so we say, but it is not so, for even the lowest, who seems to have the least, can sometimes be the greatest in mind and in speed. Oh, I wish I could explain to you. I could tell you of people and things, of people who've had such adversity, who've had so many setbacks, ill health, complicated lives, difficult people to deal with, how you say, I have to contend with, and yet they have achieved, in spite of all the obstacles, they have brought out something from within themselves that has been valuable, that has been a contribution to humanity and to life. It was important, even though it seems sometimes illogical. It is sometimes the most illogical things that are the most logical. There will be people in your world who are brilliant, who will condemn this or condemn that, and say this is foolish or that is crazy. But it is not so. It is they themselves who, because they are so brilliant in a material sense, cannot perceive the simple beauty of life. They cannot see in the simplicity of certain things the reality of it.
There are so many people who walk through the countryside, and they do not see it. They do not see the beauty of it. They do not see nature. They do not see the birds. They do not see the trees. They do not see the stir, as it were, in the undergrowth, where there is life. They are blind. They are in a car that goes so fast that they see nothing. They are only anxious to get to the next big town. The only person who is truly seeking will be content to go slowly. And for he who goes slowly sees more. He does not do the run too quickly. Those people who think they can only, all the time, achieve something by being in a hurry and getting to the next big place where a lot of people, they listen to the same conversation. Whether it is in this place or that place, that town or this town, they learn to listen to the same stupid conversation, the same stupid things are said over and over again, the things that they've heard about in the previous place, they hear about in the next, that they don't see in the countryside, nature, they don't listen to the music of life. They don't listen to the reality of the spirit that whispers in the trees. They are blinded by material thoughts and conditions and all the things which are of no importance. Oh, I can feel sometimes so impatient, and I must not be, because I must not talk about people being impatient if I am impatient. But you know, I feel if I could only lift up people and make them see. If I could only get hold of sometimes people that I know of, people I'd like to help, and shake them and say, you stupid fool. No, you are so stupid. You just will not see something that is right here in front of you. You know, it reminds me of a story once a long time ago, someone told me, about somebody who was searching for something. And he felt that he had to go traveling throughout the whole world, from country to country, experiencing this and experiencing that, questioning this person and questioning that person, and going to great places and great people, and listening to great wise men and great temples and so on, for something he did not quite know what it was. But he wanted to find out truth. But he didn't find it. And all the time it was on his doorstep, he left it behind because he was too blind to see it there. You see, life is like that. People don't see the realities of life which are within themselves. You don't have to go outside to find it. It is there within yourself, in your heart, within your very spirit, if you call upon it and see it and understand it. Oh, but people are so stupid sometimes. I feel so sad for people.
joke like that.
No, but I feel sorry.